Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and the author of the just published first prayer prescription book in a series of prayer prescription books called Prayer Prescriptions for Nurse Healers. It currently is number 6 in the nurse patient category. Our guest this evening is Sheila.
No, it's Beck, exciting. I'm going to say that.
AKA Astrologer's Astrologer. Thank you, Sheila.
I'm so excited. I just can hardly contain myself.
I am very excited too. Very excited. And
go on.
That is something I've been trying to do now for a while, and I finally decided to do it. I didn't want anybody else to do it for me. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought I would get somebody else to do it for me, but suddenly I realized if I didn't know how to do it myself, then I would be in trouble. So I did it.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, and number 6. Wow, it's going to just move on up.
Number 6 in the nurse patient category.
And how long has it been out?
It really has an official launch tomorrow, so it's really going to be...
Well, it's already number 6. Oh, my.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and that number 6 is healing and service.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that great? Okay, go on.
Tell us what is going on in the astrological / tarot card world.
Well, okay, Saturn just went to 0 degrees of Scorpio, which is, if we're going to talk about the election, it's pretty much hit both the charts pretty hard. But Saturn in Scorpio, it's interesting, right before this program, Saturn in Scorpio sometimes it does represent death, not metaphorically, not physical death sometimes, but, death and rebirth, which means death and rebirth for me is, if you have an egg and you chip away at the outside of the egg, one way to deal with Saturn in Scorpio is if you chip away, something chips away and pulls the thing out of the egg, it dies.
Even if you
prematurely pull a butterfly out, its wings will die. But if it comes out by the force from the inside out, if it comes out through the being reborn inside, then you have rebirth. And those are the two sides of Saturn in Scorpio. And Saturn in Scorpio is going to be in that sign for a long time now, And basically, Mitt Romney's Saturn is at Leo, is at 2 degrees of Leo, his Saturn, and plutonically, Pluto's with that. What you saw with that is the more power that he got through that debate, that he felt that his perception of reality that he was getting power over, the more kind of egomaniacal he got, I felt.
Yeah.
That's my perception
of
reality, folks. Not every, the more he got that kind of power over. And I thought basically the immaturity of the debate is that both, when you look at this, you have a Barack Obama whose progressed moon is in Aries. And that's pretty amazing in Aries. And Mitt Romney's, wait a minute, that's not Mitt Romney, that was Sandusky. You don't get those two mixed up. Okay.
What? Sorry. Go.
That's okay. You can laugh at that. That's funny. And Mitt Romney's moon is 11 degrees of Aries. Interestingly enough, Sandusky's sun is 14 degrees of Aries, so that's why I picked that up by mistake, that progression.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still in all, it means that Barack was trying to debate somebody who he felt was lying totally, and he didn't know how to deal with the complete lying.
Right.
I mean, because it was done in such a and not that it's not done before, but it was done in a way that was just trying to get power over. It was not a debate. It was a thing about trying to get power over. And right now, you know that Mitt Romney is, of course, a Pisces, and he has Mars and Mercury in Pisces, all of that in Pisces, which means if becoming president or if getting into a place of power, it decides which part of Pisces he wants to use. If he's going to use the suffering Christ side of it, or if he's going to use the teacher hero side of Pisces, that's what Pisces is.
Yeah.
But he has the moon, you know, in Scorpio. Now we've got both lunar things and Jupiter conjunct, not just out of 360 degrees in the zodiac, not just conjunct, but on top. His Jupiter moon is at 27 degrees of Scorpio in the sixth house. His perception of reality is power. His perception of reality, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting power. And the nodes, you know, right now, the nodes are laying on that. The nodes, you know, moved into Scorpio. They moved back into Scorpio Taurus. So we're dealing that the nodes, the dragons, head and tail, but I call them the angel kind of things, that they're laying on top of his sun and on top of this conjunction of the Jupiter moon in Scorpio.
Wow.
So it's, yeah. So he is, that's how he got into this position. It's and that's the fixity. And you know, I always say Scorpio rules a casino. And Taurus rules bringing it to Earth. And Taurus, in some ways, rules, you know, I'm going to make money with this thing in this chart. I'm going to make money no matter how. I'm going to make money for the rich. I'm going to maybe share it with the poor, but that's questionable.
That would be something that maybe he'll do it because, or maybe he won't. Is more like it.
Where Obama, you know, we're dealing with the sun in Leo at 12, and on the day of the election, the moon is exactly on top of it, which I find fascinating. And it's exactly on top of it in the seventh house, which rules other people's votes.
Right.
It rules other people's votes. And so that is very fortuitous for his chart. And also Uranus is at 25. His Uranus in his natal chart has this yod to it, finger of God. Mitt Romney has no fingers of God in his chart. He doesn't have a Star of David. He doesn't have fingers of God. He doesn't have a mystic. He doesn't have any of the leadership qualities, the transcendent leadership qualities in his chart. Just none of them, which is, you know, kind of unusual, I think, for someone that's going for usually always Clintons, all of them. You find yods, you know. You find those leadership qualities of a genius. And, I mean, Obama's chart is a genius chart but geniuses are not necessarily the most intelligent. Geniuses are intuitive and know what to do in the moment. And geniuses basically are ahead of the crowd. And the crowd has to catch up with a genius. Because everybody says to the genius, you're nuts. We don't want to do it that way. That's never going to work. That's never, you know. And then you just say, seeing I'm from the theater, basically, you just say, wait till the show goes on. It'll work. And then it works. And then everybody goes, oh, my God, how'd you ever think of that? Well, you didn't really think of that. It really came from the heart. It really came from the intuition. It's just one of those things, you know, like when you're writing your book, right? All of a sudden you go, wow, that's really terrific. That part there just really rings, right? That's when the genius thing, the Uranian thing hits you. Now Uranus is in Aries. It's gone in Aries. So basically, there are a lot of geniuses coming forth. There are a lot of people that set back now that are really stepping forth, that are starting to, it's their time. It's their time to really do their thing. It looks to me like Obama will win the election. It looks to me like Romney's, he's going to kick himself in the ass again. And, you know, it's interesting to me, now they're coming out, the Romney side is coming out saying that the Obama side is bringing up Big Bird too much. Well, who started Big Bird?
Who brought it up?
Huh?
Who
and now they're criticizing the other side for mentioning it. And I'm going, well, who brought it up? They couldn't even bring it up if you hadn't gone, you know, mentioned it.
Right.
So,
well,
and it's a matter of
misplaced priorities. You don't talk about cutting the budget and bringing Big Bird up first when you're allowing the banks to run rampant. You're allowing just, you know, you're going to be shipping all these things overseas. And it really was a shocking moment, in my opinion, in that debate.
It was a shocking moment of stupidity.
But it probably is time to let that Big Bird, let him rest now and move on. But maybe it is a little bit too much.
What I did say, Kate, in the beginning of this little discussion was that if you crack the egg in the picture on Facebook with the egg, you know, or whatever that is dripped on his head, that's kind of symbolic of what I said before.
Exactly.
You can look at it.
Exactly.
If you look at it as an egg, like, stripping over his head, it's like you're already gone, you know. You're cracked, you know. That really didn't work. As for...
so the fact of the matter is, if you didn't want to talk about Big Bird, you shouldn't have brought it up. It really is the monster in the room. Little children love it. People have been raised on PBS and on Sesame Street from day one, and it has helped them learn how to treat other people. It has been a symbol of learning the alphabet, learning how.
Not even talking about just Sesame Street. It wasn't Mr. Rogers on PBS?
Yeah.
And Mr. Rogers, you know, I would watch his show just to watch his show. I mean, I couldn't wait to watch his show, and I wasn't even a kid, you know. PBS is about the arts. It's about the arts. It's about opera and ballet and all of those things that make our life richer. Theater makes our life richer. And Sesame Street allows... It's like the new iPod that these autistic children now are taking to and learning from, and they're laying them down. I have two, one in New Hampshire, and who works with children. You'll be interested in this. She works with children under 16 months. She has the oldest child is 16 months, she is in the development field of catching autism at that time. And she works with the vibrational energy of the child, and she's very into a lot of esoteric things. But she doesn't talk to the parents about that. She talks to the children about that. You are what you are. You are strong. You are meaningful. You are, and she's really very interesting. But she also laid an iPod down, and the one in Florida, Fritz, also laid one down. And these children, they magnetically go to it. They magnetically go to the iPod. They magnetically go to the screen and start putting their fingers on the screen, and, you know, it changes pictures.
Yeah.
It moves, and they're like, whoa. And these teachers are finding out that it is a great, it's a communication tool to get rapport. It's really quite fascinating. As for Jerry Sandusky, my thing on that is when I pulled this chart up, the angels put him away because the nodes are, his progressed nodes are laying right on top of the sun and moon. Now, when you want to know what an Aquarius can do on the negative side, you listen to his speech, sun, node, moon in Aquarius, all in Aquarius. If you sat down in front of this man right now in a private room, he would tell you that's not an act. He will tell you that he helped those children. He will tell you that he saved their lives. He will tell you that they're ungrateful. That is the Aquarius thing at its at the epitome of egomaniacalness.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's like, you know, and it's like I killed 300 people, but I had to be for the good of everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that, and you know, everybody's going, oh, that's a defense. It's not a defense. He believes that. I said that at the very beginning with his chart. He totally believes that. He believes he is totally innocent, that he is a wronged man. And it's very hard for double Aquariuses to ever think. Now, they're great ones because when they start in the humanitarian issues and they work, you know, with all of the Peace Corps and all of that, that's when the double Aquarius just comes out. When they're a minister in the pulpit and they're with 3,000 people and they're talking to a transcendent talk, that's when the double Aquarius is, or the moon in Aquarius or the sun in Aquarius, really excels. But if they're excelling in the opposite way, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, two more things, and then we'll go to the phones. If you want to know about the solar eclipse that's happening on November the 13th, it's a double Scorpio. It's 21 degrees of Scorpio. It's, again, we're dealing with a Scorpio issue. We're dealing right now with life and death issues here in America. We are really dealing with very deep, deep stuff that is coming to the surface about where we planted our seeds. You know, where we planted our seeds with other country. Did we plant them on the road to get run over? Did we plant them in the rocks, you know, to get strangled? Did we plant them in the bushes? That's what the parable is about. It means where are you plant? Where did America plant its seeds? Now, what's happening now is that right after the election is that whoever gets to be president, this stuff is coming up because we have, you know, Saturn in Scorpio, which is coming right, it's right in the same place as this eclipse. And the solar eclipse gestation point is 29 of Scorpio. So it means everything that we sowed here, we're going to start to reap. And it might be what the December 21st is. It's not that, you know, the planet's going to be annihilated. It's not that kind of thing. It's that, that are we being cracked from the outside? Are we being born from the inside? Then the lunar eclipse, of course, follows that November the 28th. And that is in Sagittarius. The sun is in Sagittarius, but the lunar eclipse is in Gemini. Now, that's good for Obama. I mean, that's Jupiter conjunct the moon. That's strategy. That's strategy of how to deal emotionally with the solar eclipse. Because the sun is the God seed, and the sun has a dot in the center. And if I do the chart work on anybody's chart, I do all kinds of colored things in the center of the chart. And what that is everything that all the aspects and all the things in the center of the chart are located inside that little tiny dot, that little tiny God seed with the circle around it. Now the circle around it is to protect it. That's the egg around the dot. And that means that some people never break that from the inside out. You have to go through brokenness to do that. You have to be broken to go in that deep. You have to go to a place where it deepens you, you know, where it opens your soul, where you know, basically it allows you to explore the whole perimeters of that. And it's a gateway to another consciousness. It lifts up the vibration. And then you can explore, you know, anger, pain, abandonment, terror, loneliness. And they are the aspects of that, the thing, the sacred wound that, you know, usually in our daily lives we don't work with. But if you focus on that, then you focus, the pain of grief is not the only teacher, of course. But if looked at in a situation where you are really suffering, then it opens, then you are forced to open from the inside out. And that's what Saturn in Scorpio is doing. And if I raise it up to the America, that's what America is dealing with. You know, it's dealing with a lot of strategic decisions. Now, the voters have to decide who they want to deal with that. I mean, who do they want to deal with that? Because, you know, if we're working on the vibrational scale, I don't know where we're vibrating at right now in the map of consciousness exactly in America. Because, you know, I mean, the lowest vibration on that scale is shame and guilt. And shame is I am a mistake, and guilt is I made a mistake. Apathy is that I bury them all, and they go in that dot. And I say I won't come out. I stay in my comfort zone. I'm not coming out. I'm not gonna stretch out because I'll be hurt again. That's when you won't get in a relationship or anything. And then you go into risk. Well, I'm gonna risk it. But then if you risk it and you die to the way it was before, then the seed breaks open in the chart. Then you're able to use the chart. You're able to begin. But a lot of people cannot use the map because they have not broken open enough.
Yeah.
So they have the fear, which is 100, a vibrational 100, and then the desire, which is when you get up to fear, then you, if you move through the fear without using alcohol or drugs or gambling or, you know, all different fear of failure, fear of success, if you use that, then what that does is it elevates you up into the higher consciousness, which vibrates up at, you know, like 250 to 1,000. But then what happens, Kate? You fall back down. You fall right back down into the lower vibration. So it's interesting, you know, like if you walk into a room and someone's angry, you know that the attractor field, for some reason, attractor field, that whole anger brings the whole room down. It can bring everything down.
Yes.
Because the attractor field of anger will attract everybody in the room because they're going, what did I do wrong? What happened here? You know? And then when the next thing up is pride, and pride is, oh, pride is exactly what you saw with Jerry Sandusky. That was pride.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong. I was great. You know, I didn't do. He didn't have the courage to vibrate into the courage thing of saying, in that first paragraph that he said, Kate, he said me, my, five times. He didn't start out with saying, these children have been tortured. These children have been abused. These young men have been, you know, he didn't start out in the compassionate truth of what happened, no matter if he did it or not. No matter if he did it or not. And you have to be able, if you get through that, you have to be able to neutralize, and you have to have the willingness to be healed, you know, accept your part in it, because if you then say, I created all this to struggle and learn something, I created every bit of this, I created every character in this play to really struggle and force myself out instead of blaming, you know, and then you move up to love, and love is hard, you know, and unconditional love is even harder because that's forgiving before it even happens. And you know, we don't have vibrational energy. I think maybe, how many people do you think we have on Earth that are vibrating at like 1,000, 700 to 1,000? It's hard to say.
I don't know.
Dalai Lama, maybe?
Yes,
huh?
Definitely. Yeah, just those kinds of people.
You know, the Dalai Lama and, I mean, because, you know, they have, well, all the ones that are sitting in little holes in the wall up in the Himalayas and stuff that Greg Braden and those people go to visit, right?
You go,
how do they know that? That's because they're vibrating at that kind of level, you know? And then if Braden and them are attracted to them, then their attractor, then their station of vibration, their station is attracted to that, and they climb that mountain to find out that information. And then what they do with that information is bring it back to us. And in some ways, do you ever notice it's Dalai Lama? He laughs at everything.
Yes, I love him.
It's so wonderful, you know. And since Wayne Dyer is going through this whole cancer thing, did you know John of God healed him?
I did read his whole book at least twice, the latest one. Yes.
Yeah. And that is just... that's
a great story. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to get that. What's the name of the book, Kim? Is that we say it in the radio?
Yeah, let me just... You know, I
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on.
Blank.
But that's all right. I do that every.
While I'm looking that up, I would like you to tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you, because your SheilaAudette.com doesn't have the right email, the right phone, the right address. And how can what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Okay, I'll give my email address out. It's Mary, M-A-R-Y, Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, Audette, A-U-D-E-T, at gmail.com.
Okay, so that's the way we're going to get people to contact you. Good.
And the phone for astrology is 342-9318, area code 717, because we're talking all over the country.
Right.
And if I work with you, I can do it long distance. I put it on a digital recorder. It usually takes 2 hours. I put it on a digital recorder, and then I put it on a CD, and then I send the entire session to the client so that they have, so they can listen to it. Because the first time you only hear some things, second time you hear more, and the third time you hear what you don't want to hear. So one client said, I won't listen the third time.
Mary Sheila Audette at gmail.com.
Yes, yeah, Audette. Don't forget A-U-D-E-T.
A-U-D-E-T. And the phone number is
because
717. Go ahead.
717-342-9318. And you can get me at. And some people get me at 717-684-0424. And I work with everything, okay? So relationships and illnesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I know, and then you have a Facebook page too. If anybody listening has a Facebook page, you would search for Sheila Audette. Sheila and A-U-D-E-T. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
And Wayne Dyer's book is Wishes Fulfilled. It's a wonderful book. And now let us go to the phone lines. area code 631 has been waiting the longest.
Okay.
Welcome. Hello this evening. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I was wondering if looking at astrology, you could see when you see a relationship for me.
What's your name, honey?
Suzanne.
Suzanne, okay. Spelled with a Z or with a S? S-U-Z-A-N-N-E or S-U?
S-U-Z-A-N-N-E.
Ah, yes, the way you spelled. Okay, when were you born, dear?
560.
Okay. May?
No, October 5th, 1960.
Oh, okay, I heard you wrong. Oh, October 5th, 1960, okay. Gosh, I just did a chart for that date. That's really strange, you know?
Synchronicity.
Yesterday. I mean, it's even underlined in the book. Okay. Okay, now what is the question?
When you see a relationship coming in.
Okay. Well, I think, you have Venus in Scorpio. Here we go with Scorpio. Mercury in Scorpio. What I'm going to say to you is, what are you doing to avoid one? Because your chart...
I have friends who would like to be more than friends, I think. One does, one doesn't. I'm just trying to... I don't know if you've seen the future of me meeting someone else or...
Well, What is it that basically you're looking for in a man? I'm telling you, Suzanne, with the chart that's here, you can attract anyone you want, okay? You can attract, but, you have to, that's the attractor field. But you have to really be careful that you're not attracting things that you need healed in yourself. Because if you are doing that, then basically you're just in a relationship to really heal part of yourself, if you get that.
No,
so,
that it's just trying to meet the right person.
Mm-hmm. The right person is a person that will love you and make you feel happy, and that you don't feel toxic around at all. That you would really, your energy here is that you have the moon in Aries, which means you have to stick around long enough to really get to know them. The moon in Aries sometimes shuts them off too quick. And if you're asking me if there's someone in the future, there's someone coming in right now because, you know, the whole energy pattern of Scorpio is up, and Mercury's in Scorpio right now, and the nodes are in Scorpio. So you're gonna meet someone. You're gonna meet someone very, very soon, maybe in the next 6 months. And Saturn in Scorpio, you must make sure that you really feel happy, that you really feel good around them, that you really are, you know, attracted to them for all the right things. And the card you got is the Ace of Cups, which is a really beautiful card, which means the more you give love, the more you receive love. The more you give love out, the more there's your truth, my truth, the cold hard truth, and the compassionate truth. So it's saying really look behind everything and hunt the compassionate truth in people and really love them. And then that's what you'll attract, Suzanne, because the chart says that in the next 6 months, someone new is coming in, okay?
Okay, and I'm supposed to be starting a job either this week or next week. Does it say in the chart too?
It's a good thing that you're starting a job in the this week or next week, because the Pluto energy in Capricorn is that plutonically it will be a job that you'll really like, and it'll really be deep and fulfill you, okay? What is it?
Teacher aid.
Well, that's great, honey. You
congratulations.
Got a good chart
yeah.
for that, huh?
Teacher,
congratulations, yeah.
Yeah, you got a very good chart for that. You have Jupiter in Sagittarius, brilliant teacher. Saturn in Capricorn, those are exalted. I mean, those are in their own sign. They're wearing their own costume, and that means presenting really difficult material to children in a very exciting way, Suzanne.
So you
or
see
to anybody.
Relationship like being steady or marriage in the future then in the 6 months or a year?
You're gonna get married. Yes, yes, I see you. I'm not gonna tell you whether you're gonna get married or not, but I see a really steady relationship. Okay.
And that's like 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
congratulations.
You.
Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay. Let me just see who has been waiting here the longest, and that would be area code 207. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Cindy.
Okay, hi, Cindy.
How are you?
When were you born? I'm fine. When were you born?
7/12/1949.
July the 12th, 1949?
Yes. Yeah. I have a Libra ascendant sign.
You do? Let me get it here. Okay. And what do you want to know, honey?
Well, I wanted to know what you see that might be standing out in my chart, because my ascendant degree is 21 degrees and my sun sign is 20, so there's lots of 20 things going on. I think the solar eclipse is going to be 21
degrees.
Scorpio.
Yes, Scorpio. Hey, girl, go.
No, the eclipse is going to be in Scorpio on my second house cusp. Does that mean money?
That means you can create an the second house for me is creating experience. So if you're creating experience, the money house is across from that, which is the eighth house, which means so that's the money house. But it comes out of the seventh house, which means if you teach people how to treat you, and then the energy of money evolves. But the second house is how you create experience. So it depends, you know, what you have invested in an experience to create the money. The money is just the outcome. The money is the effect. The cause is basically, are you doing what you love? What are you creating it for? What are you invested in? That's the way you make the money. And the more you love and the more bliss you have around what you do, the more money you make. And any of the biggies, you know, the ones that have made a lot of money will tell you that. Oprah Winfrey, I mean, she does what she loves, you know. I mean, she does what she loves and she can't get enough money. You know, Tyler Perry, all of them, they do what they love. So July the 12th. So your sun in Cancer So you have an Aquarius moon, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the Aquarian moon, the sun in Cancer is an interesting thing because it is working with humanity in some way, especially with the moon in Aquarius. It is working with bringing a new vibration to Earth, Cindy. Right now, we are changing our vibrational field. We're getting slowly. We're dialing to a new attractor field. And how do you know that? Because people used to go to retreats to talk about all spiritual information. Reiki was a word people didn't even know. Okay, now nurses are doing it in hospitals, right, Kate?
Yeah, they are.
Nurses are doing it in hospitals. That wasn't so before. The two worlds are coming together, and that means there's a new vibrational energy that is lifting us from the base map of consciousness into a higher consciousness. And you're part of that because you have the moon in Aquarius. You have that energy in Aquarius, and you can talk to large groups of people because of this Mercury in Cancer. This Mercury in Cancer is that you can give the message out, whatever that is to you. And Venus in Leo means people will attract to you. They will love you for that. They're attracted to you. You're magnetic. And that's a great thing to have. And Mars in Gemini is an intuitive that knows what to say in the moment, in the right moment. Mars in Gemini has to do with the fact that, okay, if the great tennis players have it, they know when to do a drop shot. They know when to do an overhead. They know when to do a backhand. They know exactly. Out of trillion shots, they know exactly the ones to make. Okay? That's Mars in Gemini. In the moment, the genius in the moment saying, man, that's the lighting you use in the theater. That's what to do. And Jupiter in Capricorn means total success in money, in business. If you do what you love. And if you do healing energy work that helps with the planet. And if you're on that you're, but Saturn in Virgo, you got to watch how critical you are of self, because Saturn in Virgo is mentally, physically, emotionally, and the glyph turns in spiritually. That if indeed you get critical of self, then if something mental happens that really bothers you, then you take it to an emotional level, and then you can make yourself sick with it. So instead of doing that, you have to work the thing and say, what did I learn from this? Why did I create this? Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So and the other thing is Brian Katie's work. Is that true? What I just thought about myself, what they said, because what other people think of you is really none of your business. They're really talking about themselves. But if it bothers you. If it bothers you in one little way, then it is your business. Then you go, thanks for the gift. I have to work on that.
Yes, I thoroughly understand that.
And you have Uranus in Cancer. So you have Uranus in Cancer. You have Mercury in Cancer. You have the Sun in Cancer. So, hey, after this phone call, go out and save the world.
Very nurturing. Very nurturing.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting because my work is actually nurturing. I channel jewelry, and I've been doing this for a while. And, and people just gravitate towards this jewelry.
Yes.
And I think that's probably what you're talking about.
Because the vibrational field of your energy is you. So it has an attraction of this whole kind of thing of saving the world. And so when they wear a piece of your jewelry, they're wearing a piece of your energy. They're wearing a piece of that. So they're wearing a piece of your morphogenic field when they put it on, and that's what they feel.
Yes,
okay?
and they buy multiples because they just love the way people will usually say it's the way it feels.
There it is. It's the way
Beautiful.
It feels. Kinesthetic. It works in the kinesthetic way. So it's the way it feels.
Right. So that's it. Okay.
All right, honey. You have a wonderful voice,
path.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a great night, Cindy.
You too.
Bye. Thank
you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
All
Let's
right.
See here. Yeah, this is all good.
Mm-hmm.
We have... We have somebody on Skype.
Okay.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
May I give you my birthday?
Yes, you may.
Okay. 30, 1953.
Uh-huh.
And the time is where? Are you doing the time?
No, I didn't get the first part, honey.
April.
April what?
30.
Okay, I didn't hear that. April 30, yeah, 1953. Okay, I'm not doing the time right now.
Okay.
Because
whatever pops out that might be easy for you to detect would be a treat. Because you seem to know your stuff, 1, 2, 3. So, what, you know.
Thank you.
What's
your name, honey?
You want to share? Diane.
Diane. Okay, April 30th, 1953. Okay, you're a Taurus. Okay, Tauruses are responsible for the seed of the earth. Tauruses are responsible for breaking open the force from the inside out, not only for themselves, but for the entire planet. For the entire planet right now, you have the moon in Scorpio, and the moon in Scorpio is about that whole process that I told you about the egg breaking out.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
It's the whole courage and the courage of the Taurian energy is to come up through the soil. Is to come up through this soil and be an example of coming through that soil and breaking open up through the soil, up through the rocks, up through everything, and then coming into a sprout.
How is
Brooklyn?
Okay. It's easy enough. It's
yes.
Not me. It's somebody else, I think, in the background.
Oh, in the background.
I don't know where that is.
Okay, the moon is Scorpio, dear. I'm just going to keep talking. The moon is Scorpio.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
He looks great now.
Clearly.
He lost a lot of weight.
I don't know where that's coming from. It's so not here.
Can you hear me, though? Let's concentrate on you, okay?
Okay, I can. The moon
okay, good. So we'll just let them talk about whatever. You have to watch your moon in Scorpio, Diane, and this is
okay.
Why. Because the moon in Scorpio can have something emotionally said to them, and they will go, oh, that's fine. But then what happens is as you go away, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and it hurts you more and more and more. And by the time you get home, you say, oh, my God, that is really painful. Oh, my God, that's really toxic. And by the next morning, you're ready to kill a person. So I don't say that lightly because I have the moon in Scorpio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to watch the moon in Scorpio because they can be very quiet in the moment that somebody's really attacking them. And then what happens is after they walk away, they brood on it. And it goes deep, very deep. And then you have Mercury in Aries because then you can get really into pissosity over it, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then Venus in Aries. And what is your Mars? And your Mars is in Taurus. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, honey, this is a very sexy chart. Sorry. Well, it is.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, we're human. Let's throw a little of physicality in there. We're happy.
Yeah, well, okay. I just
You know what it is? I'm very, very aware of my physical being since I'm 35 and I'm in LA. I've had cosmetic surgery. So,
uh-huh,
you know, the physical thing works for me. Right.
Well, it surely does. It works for you and your chart, too.
And look at how you talk it out. But you don't even know me. See, I love that. You're so good at what you do. So, wait, so what are you telling me that's good for me? Because we have Scorpio moon and Scorpio's coming into Jupiter.
Yeah. Yes.
So, is that to my benefit?
Yeah, it's to your benefit. Hey,
good.
Your perception of reality. If you say it's to your benefit,
that's
hey,
right.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. That's correct. Exactly. Hello, Jupiter. I love you. You're so right there. Yes.
Jupiter in Taurus is that basically what you plant, Diane, will expand. So if you think of a trillion seeds and one plants itself and then it grows into a large tree, then what happens with that large tree is it's like the loaves and the fishes. That's what the parable is about. Because Jesus, you know, in that parable, what happened was there were two loaves, two fishes and five loaves. And what happened was the big thing in the parable is that he broke them open. He broke them in half. He broke them. And when you break open, then when the things come off the tree, that feeds a billion people. Feeds a million people. I mix metaphors there, but I don't care. So so then it means that tree that planted itself, that grew, like our friend Kate's prayer prescription book. That means you never ever know the person that that's feeding somewhere. The person that it's a butterfly effect. The one, like Kate's book, the one prayer prescription book, that's a butterfly effect that may help somebody in China. And when that person gets that book and reads one prayer, then that prayer they begin to say, and then they help the person that's standing beside them. You get what I mean? So
I love it. Yeah.
It's like the expansion of, and what Kate said was, I had to struggle and do it myself. That means she had to water it, she had to nurture it, she had to take care of it herself because no one else was going to come in and do it for her. And that makes it twice as strong and twice as powerful. And it feeds twice as many people because the struggle's there. Okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're really a pleasure. It was delightful.
So are you.
Blessings,
thank
blessings.
You.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We will. Oh, I believe we. Hang on.
Okay, I'm hanging.
482. We have a 937 area code. 937.
Where's 937?
I don't know.
Hey, it's Ohio.
Oh, Ohio.
Ohio. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello, my name's Sandy, and my birthday is April 8th, 1957.
April 8th, 1957.
Yes.
Yes, I just did two charts from Ohio.
Oh.
Last week. Ohio's hot. Why, Ohio? Sorry, I'm singing songs now, and I can't sing. Okay. What are you interested in, honey? What do you want to know?
Love.
Love?
Yes.
Is that what you just said? Love.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so you could fall in love. I mean, and love can come instantly right here. As Uranus moves through Aries, love can come, and it can be because of the moon in Cancer here. The moon in Cancer with the sun in Aries means it could come from anywhere. It can come from going to any kind of meeting. Usually, you know, when you have the moon in Cancer and the sun in Aries, it's that whole song where you see the person across the room and the intuition, and you see them walk toward each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh my God, this is the one for life, okay?
Wow.
Well, that's what you have in your chart.
All right.
All right. And Mercury in Taurus and Venus in Aries here. Venus in Aries again backs that up. Venus in Aries means the soulmate that is coming, walking toward you, has gone through the same struggles. You do not want a soulmate that has not gone through struggle. Because if you get a soulmate that has not gone through struggle, they will bring up everything in you that you'd want to heal. So it is. It's about saying, "Oh my gosh, this person, you know, is not anybody that starts to bring something toxic up in you. You can't change it. The only person that can change it is them. Don't ever say you can fix someone because it doesn't work. They can only fix themselves. Okay?
I've tried that. Yes, you're right.
Yes, you did. Did you try that?
I tried to fix an alcoholic. You can't do it.
No, you can't do that because it's a spiritual disease.
Alcoholism is and drugs are a spiritual disease. They're wrestling with the gods. That's what they're doing. That's why AA works a lot, because that's what Bill Wilson, you know, is that his name? Am I right there?
Yeah, Bill Wilson, yes.
Yeah. You know, he that whole thing of meeting with other people that are struggling with God and going into the meetings and telling your story and other people being healing by your story, that is, he brought in the spiritual aspect of dealing with drugs and alcohol. So unless the commitment is from inside out, like I was talking about the force inside the egg, it has to be from the inside out. Someone cannot crack the egg open for another person, the alcoholic or the drug addict. They have got to make the commitment. And when they make the commitment, I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr. My God, his career was gone. And he did it through Qigong. And you know, if you have people like Penn and, I mean, what's his name? These movie stars driving him to rehab, and he was going out the back door. It had to come from him.
Right.
And when it came from him, he even went to prison and just entertained people there. It has to come with the alcoholic or the drug inside out. And if you are the one outside trying to fix them, then you are in some way egomaniacal.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. You are then dealing with, and you know, you have this Aries thing, and it's a crusade. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight the war for them. I'm going to do it. And you just can't.
Yeah, you can't do
it. Okay, let me see what cards you got. Oh, okay, so you got this wand card. There's a new project coming from you, a new creation that is to be created that you're to create from scratch. This is a card, the one, she's sitting outside of it, and the person in the cloud is making fire from two pieces of wood by hand. So it means creating something from scratch. It means creating some new thing. Now, and then you got the Ace of Discs, which is inside the acorn, and it's just what I'm talking about. The child inside the acorn is holding the totem of the tiger. And that's their totem, and that's saying, "I am ready. You're an old soul. Every soul has come to this earth to do something. Every single person, every soul. It doesn't matter if they're sitting on the street. It doesn't matter whatever. They are here in some way to vibratorily change the planet in some way. And you're up. You're up because there's some kind of. And then I got the Sun of Cups, which is another egg. I have two eggs here." Different ones, and this is playing music inside of it's playing music. So what you should do is sit down and start to write about what did I have passion for that I've lost. You should start with a discovery journal. What did I have passion for that I lost? What person was left behind because of other people's stuff? What person did I shun because of other people wanted me to do something else? What person did I let die? Because you didn't really let them die. They're really in there. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All righty.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You
thank
too.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. I heard myself talk back.
Mm-hmm. Let's try a 717 area code.
Okay.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Rodney.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. This is a double Leo.
Yes.
Boy, am I psychic.
Yeah.
Rodney,
this is
Kate.
Truly enjoying the show this evening.
Thank you.
I've been listening. I was doubtful that I would ever be able to get in.
Oh, wow. But after all, you're a double Leo.
Yeah. Well,
what's your birthday?
What's the dog's name?
Huh?
What's the dog's name?
Pearl.
That's Pearl. Pearl.
Pearl.
Yes.
Yes, yes. She's being obnoxious, and I apologize. Or I should say she's just being Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say that you had a very fortuitous day, Rodney.
Well, we did, yes. I wanted to ask you, though, mm-hmm. I've been listening to all the, you know, your mm-hmm. Your readings for people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'm concerned that our species collectively,
mm-hmm.
the planet-wide, you know, this planet is so small. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
just beneath 25,000 miles
mm-hmm.
in circumference. And when do you think some politician or some, you know, when are they going to start pointing out that fact, how vulnerable we could be here as a species, you know, and all of the violence and the discontent that exists in the world?
Well, what I'm gonna say to you, Rodney, is because you just put a vibration out. That was you. And you just intuitively put that vibration out. And that means the butterfly effect. Somebody, you know, who knows who's listening here? And somebody then clicks onto that, and somebody goes, my gosh, I better look into that. And each one that's hit with the dangerous place that we're in, each one of those souls, it changes their vibration, and they start attracting a different thing. And as you're saying about the politicians, you know, are in some way. We need to stop the duality. We need to stop
science.
The divisiveness.
Science needs to be the ruling force, you know, the
mm-hmm.
the undeniable, the undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we're going to achieve that. I think we're at some sort of tipping point.
Yes.
As a collective species globally, we're
mm-hmm.
So I wish I knew the answers, but I think I do. But
you know, it's not just the answers; it's the right questions to ask, and you're asking
yes.
the right questions, because the answers, you know, if you're asking the question, then somewhere inside of you, you know the answer. And so that's terrific. That's terrific.
Well, I'm very concerned.
I know you are.
You know, very concerned about
mm-hmm.
the pettiness of it all, the politics,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of that. It's
mm-hmm.
it's time to really get on with the reality,
mm-hmm.
not the platitudes. Of,
right.
You know, the politics of it all.
Well, you know, in talking about the debate, what indeed, you know, I think science and spirituality coming together, I think, and art and artists, I think all of those things together, I don't think politics is the answer. I think artistically, the artists, you know, they write the lyrics. I mean, they write, you know, The Impossible Dream. They write Imagine All the People. Imagine, you know, No Countries. They're laying it out there. They're laying it out there, that message.
You talk about the butterfly effect, you know, when
mm-hmm.
Rodney King said, can't we all just get along?
Right.
That
was big that sentence.
Was, you know, you ask anyone on the planet, you know, anywhere, what
mm-hmm.
who said those words, and anyone can tell you.
Yes.
It was a pivotal moment, you know, and I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned that our species is,
mm-hmm.
in, you know, we need to come together somehow. What's it going to take?
Well, it's going to take people like you that are holding the vibration of us coming together, and people like Kate writing prayer prescription books, and people that are really holding that vibration. Because when it gets to a peak point, or you're talking about, and they're holding, it's like when we do the harmonic conversion or something, when everybody's praying at the same time, that changes the attractor field, that changes the vibrational energy, because in that moment,
right.
when everybody's doing that, there is a switch.
Right.
There is a switch.
A tipping point. Yes.
Thank you. Who wrote that book? Who wrote that book, Tipping Point? I love
Isn't it Malcolm something?
Yeah, I love that book.
Yes.
And then there's a tipping point. And I think, yes, we are at a tipping point. But I don't think we're giving enough credit to, we give more credit to the negative than we do to the positive. Of, you know, it's like I said at the beginning of this, if somebody's
still,
in a delightful room of people and someone gets angry, that it changes
help
all.
It.
It changes all the tractor field, you know?
Yeah.
So, but then if you can hold the vibration in with the anger, if you can hold the vibration, if you can still stay in that other tractor field, you can pull someone out, the other person out of the emotion.
Yeah,
that's quite a test. Listen to yourself, Sheila. Okay.
Kate, are you there?
I am.
Yes. Well, I.
You two must meet.
I'm calling you from Millersville, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I look forward to meeting you. I was just given the information today on how to contact you, and so I've been listening to the program. It's great. Yes.
It was great to have you on, Rodney. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, well, I know you have other callers waiting, so.
Well, we are actually at the end. We're at the end of the hour, so we probably should skip on and.
We'll try
literally.
To squeeze one more in. And,
yeah.
Okay. Sheila, I'll call you for a reading very soon.
Okay.
You're the greatest.
Thank you.
Yes.
So are you, Rodney?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye bye, dear. Great
bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.
That was sweet.
Okay. He is a sweetie.
He's very neat. Yes.
We have come to
Hi,
the
Pearl.
End of this. That she's getting rambunctious. So we've come to the end of the hour, and I'm going to play music for Mother and Child by Klaus B. Jensen. Love to you.
Love to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, dear Kate.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Angel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, honey.
Love you.